May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, St. Anne's, and a blessed Trinity Sunday to all of you. Today I want to lift up a passage from Matthew's Gospel, the 23rd chapter and the 23rd verse, in which Jesus calls our attention to what he describes as the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. These three form their own holy trinity, each one sorely needed as we continue our witness. As you know, our country is struggling to find its equilibrium. If you're like me, you have been in information overload more than once in the past few days, weeks, and months. We are living in an apocalyptic time, and by that I mean a time of revealing, heartbreaking and dismaying in its depths of sorrow and pain. Our history stands before us, and we dare not look away, because to look away means we might miss the opportunity set before us. We might escape into despair, thinking there is nothing we can do, and forgetting what Jesus said to his disciples, "I am with you to the end of the age. I am with you in this dark hour." We may forget the wonderful benediction from Ephesians, "Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to him who desires mercy and justice for all his children, who desires that his children live a life of faithfulness. Glory to him." But who is he? Today, Trinity Sunday, is one of those days when preachers and scholars spend hours mining the works of the church fathers and 2,000 years of theology trying to answer that question and somehow explain the foundational truths of Christianity, that God is real, that by the mystery of the incarnation, God became man and conquered death, and that this loving God and his crucified Son, Jesus Christ, abides with us now and always, through the Holy Spirit that has been poured into our hearts. This is a day for teaching, but in many ways, no less and no more than any other Sunday. Like All Saints, Easter, Lent 3, or Pentecost 23, we gather in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We remember the ways God is revealed in Scripture and in better days in the breaking of bread. We recall and rejoice over his work in our lives. That is why we gather as the body of Christ, be it in cyberspace or soon together in our own sacred space. We gather, we remember, and we go forth to live out our faith. In a sense, each Sunday ends with the Great Commission. And so it will be today. Our scriptures paint a picture of the Trinitarian presence. The great story of creation shows us God at work. Our world swarms with life of unimaginable variety. We look up and see the sun, the moon, the near planets and the distant stars so far that their light takes a millennia and more to reach us. Is it any wonder the psalmist cried out, "O Lord, our governor, how exalted is your name in all the world." Our gospel takes us to a mountaintop in Galilee and an encounter with the resurrected Christ. He is waiting for his disciples who are on foot, doggedly making the 115-mile journey from Jerusalem. They have had at least a week to think things through, to ponder and wonder and hope that his promise is true. "Tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." And so they went. And when they saw him, the one who is called Emmanuel, the one who is God with us, They worshiped him, but some doubted. They hesitated, perplexed, in a state of cognitive dissonance, not disbelieving, but shaken to the core. Here stood the Lord of all. Remember, he said, I am with you always to the end of the age. About 20 years later in Macedonia, his abiding spirit moved through St. Paul as the great apostle dictated a letter to the faithful Christians in Corinth. This was the same holy and sanctified breath of God that swept over the waters of chaos in Genesis, that descended upon Jesus at his baptism, and that strengthened the earliest followers who birthed a faith rooted in the mystery of God present at the beginning, God present in the flesh, God present in the spirit. This presence is a great comfort, but it can also be demanding. It does not sit quiet and unmoved, though at times it may appear so. Then something happens. Then comes a convulsion that cannot be ignored, and we are called to attend to those weightier matters, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. As I said, we are living in an apocalyptic time when much is revealed about our economy, our healthcare system, our race relations, and the many points where these intersect. Some of these things we knew. Some we ignored. Some caught us off guard by their intensity. Taken together, they cry out for an urgent response by the people of God. The more than 100,000 taken by COVID-19 cry out. The more than 40 million who have lost their jobs cry out. The souls of Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, and George Floyd cry out. Do not let this moment pass unattended. Do not yearn for the old days. God wants to do a new thing. Recreation is upon us, brothers and sisters. Even now it struggles to bring forth. Open your eyes. Do you not see it? We are again striving to make these words real and true and a lived reality in our country. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, we know that when these noble words were written, they did not apply to the 700,000 slaves in the American colonies or to the uncounted Native Americans. We know that a few years later in the first census, each of these slaves was registered, but only as 3/5 of a person, and that the Native Americans were not counted at all. This is our history, the legacy left us by our founding fathers, many of whom were faithful, slave-owning Christians. But our history also includes countless other faithful Christians who read today's Old Testament passage and were stopped cold, convicted, and transformed by one of the most powerful and challenging texts in the Gospels and in the Bible. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. This is not some platitude to be summarized and slapped on a bumper sticker. This is the word of God, the gospel truth, the good news that allows us to pray, O God, you have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth. These words took hold of Christians and built up such a fire in their hearts that they burst out in song. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. And a century later, the nonviolent men and women arrested during the freedom rides would sing out to each other from their separate prison cells, "You know the one thing we did right was the day we started to fight. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on, hold on." Now, I don't know what songs the peaceful protesters are singing in Minneapolis and in Annapolis, in Baltimore and in Washington, D.C., but I know faithful Christians are there, once again attending to the weightier matters: justice, mercy, faithfulness. And I pray that they, along with me and you, are wrestling with what these words mean, what they ask of us. They are most challenging, difficult to grasp, and to hold true. Brothers and sisters, the Christian witness is not easy, but we press on. It is who we are. It is what we do. We press on, saying our prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thine will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We press on, not forgetting the history that lies behind, nor looking away from the pain of today, but joining in the hard work of building relationships across all divides of race and class, sharing the blessings we have, and bringing healing to our wounded nation. Brothers and sisters, the work continues. Ever and always, the work of the weightier matters continues. Amen.